The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
And it's wedding season, of course, and there's a new wedding trend in town. It's been a while since there's been a new wedding trend. Remember the sweet cart and the crisp sandwiches? Well, now we're talking content creation during your wedding. Eimear Cawley is from County Carlow and she is Milestone Moments, and she's been creating wedding content for the last couple of months and is getting very booked up. She joins me to tell us more about this new phenomena. You're very welcome, Eimear.
Hi Orla, how are you? Thanks so much for having me.
I'm really well, thank you. And I really do think this is a new trend, to me anyway. And it was during Gerahy's content I saw at her wedding that I thought for a minute, why would you do that? And then I thought, well, that's really cute actually.
Yeah, no, it is getting so busy, and we'll see all of our social media at the minute. It's mad how popular it's gone.
Tell us about it, because I've read a bit about it and people are saying like they no longer want the 3-hour wedding video that includes the ceremony and then the reception speeches. They really want snapshots. Would you agree with that?
100%. I think even our parents would have spoke about their wedding videos, and no one's sitting down to watch this hour long video of their wedding anymore. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants these short clips that are shareable. And as well, like I think with the whole wedding content creation, what we offer, and I've seen many other girls doing it as well, is that you have content, videos, reels, photos back to them within 24 to 48 hours of their wedding, so they can share it with family, friends, and people can get a look at the dress and everything. So I think that's the important part of the wedding content creation, is that it's fast, it's snappy,
yeah,
it's real time. And that's what social media is now. That's why it's so popular.
Yeah, of course. You're saying girls a lot there, so the groom isn't that involved, is he?
I think he just goes along with it if the bride is happy.
Okay. So tell us about yourself. Like, what did you do in college or university? How did you get into this line of business?
So I actually just finished back in May. I studied business for 4 years in Dublin City University.
Very good.
And I was doing, I suppose, since I was probably in fifth year of school, I've worked in social media, content creation, and other businesses, and working for coffee shops and different things doing their social media. So I've always been working in social media. And then I suppose back in, I think it was maybe January of 2025, I was looking at another page that we're doing wedding content creation, and I was like, oh my god, like this is easy, I can do this. Like I was doing it already, I just hadn't been doing it for weddings. So I was like, I'm really like missing a part here. So anyways, just took to Instagram, made an Instagram page. And I suppose people had already known me for doing content creation already. So from there, it was kind of easy to get business straight away. But oh my God, I didn't realize it was going to take up as much as it has.
Really? So you were saying off air to me that you're at the moment you're doing about 2 weddings a month, but it's next year that you're getting really booked up for.
Yeah, so it's kind of last minute bookings has happened, I suppose, for 2025. People are just, you know, because they've obviously realised the wedding content creation is a big thing. And because I'm just starting off, they were like, yeah, we'll get you in and stuff. And so this year, yeah, probably about 2 weddings a month. And then next year, like I have a booking link to inquire, I suppose, on my Instagram. And it's all 2026, 2027,
wow,
inquiries and stuff, and all over Ireland as well.
That's amazing. And you can see some of your work if you want to search for it on Instagram. It's Milestone Moments. How does it usually work? Is it the morning of the wedding? Are you expected to be there the day before? What do people look for?
So from my experience anyway, I have different kind of packages, I suppose. So you'd have like maybe morning prep until the ceremony, or you might have ceremony till first dance. So it's really dependent on the bride and groom of what they want and what they want to capture of their special day. But mostly I have them getting the full, like I suppose if someone's getting you for half the day, they might as well get you for the full day.
Yeah.
It's probably what they're thinking. So it's just dependent on what type of content they want to capture, be it the first dance or be it the doing the makeup in the morning. So yeah, it just depends on the couple themselves.
And then what are you creating? Is there kind of a package where you promise a certain amount of reels, photos? How does it work?
Yeah. So I suppose, again, I'm new to it as well. So from what I've done is, like, on the day, like if I'm there for the whole day, I could probably capture about 800 plus photos and videos,
wow,
just kind of behind the scenes kind of work. And then after it, I'll go home and I'll make it could be 20 plus reels or videos, short clips, depending if they want a first look or a first dance video. And I kind of put them together. At the minute in my packages, I actually don't set a limit on the videos. Mm-hmm. I know some companies do it, but I'm kind of at the stage just starting out that I want to give them as much as possible. Yeah. So it's the best time to book me.
Gorgeous. And tell me, do you ever do any like viral moments? Are they, you know, dubbing along to something that's gone viral? Does anything like that happen?
I have got asked a few times now for ones, like, you know, you'll have these voiceovers on TikTok and Instagram of brides getting ready in the morning and stuff. And they're very popular. And then you'll have the ones of like your bridesmaids taking a first look at your wedding dress.
Lovely.
They're also kind of viral clips and stuff as well. So yeah, definitely they're very much wanted, and more so I suppose from the bride than anyone else. But they're funny, and look, if whatever they want on the day, you kind of just, you're ready to go with it.
Yeah. And you're saying a 24 to 48 hour turnaround, and yet you're taking so many videos and 800 photos. And like, I come from a world of editing, and I'm at the stage where I'm like, less is more, because you'll be editing all night. It's quite a busy couple of days for you then, is it?
Yeah, and I think the first wedding I did, I took, it was probably over 1,000 videos and stuff.
Wow.
And now I've kind of, like, as I go about, I'm narrowing it down to actually be like, no, this is actually worthwhile. Or, you know, you kind of pinpoint moments then instead of just gathering everything. But at the same time, it's nice to, I always send back the raw, unedited clips to the bride and groom then. So they have them as well. So look, it's nice to capture everything, but yeah, it's definitely a busy couple of hours putting clips together. But
and is it
I
just
love it.
You
it's
then?
Different. At the minute, it is just me.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it is. So it's busy.
Yeah, but I suppose nice and inconspicuous for the couple as well, that there's not lots of you there.
Yeah, and that's what I think. I think that's the whole thing of the wedding content creation now. It's usually, from what I've saw on Instagram, it's one or two people. Like, there's never a big crowd or anything. So you kind of blend in and you're just working. You kind of get to know the couple, and you have the crack with them throughout the day as well. So it's a personal touch, definitely.
And anything you're particularly proud of that you've captured since starting this? I know you're new to the game.
Yeah, I think I did a wedding down in the Woodlands in Adair about 2 months ago now. And we captured, they wanted a few videos in particular, but we captured their first look with the bridesmaids and a first look with the husband to be the fiance, and they were just them videos. I'm so proud of.
Oh,
I keep resharing them on Instagram. They were just gorgeous.
Lovely. So you can see those on Emer's Instagram, which is Milestone Moments. Have you any tips for people? You know, because I don't, you know, I know people are interested in this, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they really have thought, they almost leave the responsibility to you. Anything that the bride and groom can do for the run up to the day to kind of get ready for these shorter videos rather than, you know, just a wide shot of speeches at a reception?
Yeah, I think, well, what I've learned and what's worked really well with me and my couples is that if they send me, I'll always have a call with them maybe 3 weeks out from the wedding.
Okay.
And say, what are you liking on social media right now? What vibe are you going for with it? And they'll send me their favourite reels at the minute from maybe previous weddings that are going on. And I'll get a feel for what they kind of like, what kind of edit styles they like, because there is many different filters and edits and everything you can do, as you know, on Instagram and stuff at the minute. So I think it's just to have a really, I suppose, examples from previous weddings of what you really like and what you don't like as well. That's always a good one to get from them as well, what they don't like at all. And then you'll make sure to make them happy on the day then, I suppose.
Brilliant stuff. Such a great idea and a new business for you. So best of luck with it all. It sounds like you're getting really, really busy. It's Milestone Moments, and Emer Cawley is from County Carlow. If you want to have a check out of some of the videos and content that she has created for weddings over the past few months, she has some lovely stuff there on her Instagram, Milestone Moments. Best of luck with it all.
Thank you so much, Orla.
You're not
going to
have a weekend to yourself over spring and summer of 2026, it sounds like.
No, that's the negative side of it.
Yes.
But look, it's something different.
Oh, it's so brilliant to meet people on like what is the happiest day of their life, really.
Yeah, and they're always going to be in good form, hopefully.
Yeah, lovely. Well, best of luck with it. That is Milestone Moments, aka Emer Cawley. And Emer, thanks for joining me on the Sunday Grill this morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's Sunday. It is Beat. You are listening to The Sunday Grill. And my next guest is a 26-year-old secondary school teacher with a passion for making music education more accessible to children. Ciara O'Connor is the woman behind Ciara Cliste, which is just 6 weeks old, but already has 20 primary schools on board. And she joins me on The Sunday Grill this morning to tell us how it all works. You're very welcome, Ciara.
Thanks a million, Orla. Thanks for having me.
Just back from Australia, is that right?
Yeah, so I actually came back last November.
Okay. Did you go straight into secondary school teaching again? Or?
Yeah, so I went back teaching music for the year in a secondary school.
Okay.
In an all-boys secondary school, and I had an absolutely brilliant year there. So, yeah.
Okay. And you're from County Kilkenny, yes?
I am, yeah, Kilkenny City.
Lovely stuff. And tell us about this idea. Like, did Australia influence... your music, you're obviously a music teacher, but did it influence your change in how music is taught, or is it, had it nothing to do with it whatsoever?
Yeah, no, it 100% did. I actually, funnily enough, I worked as a PE teacher over in Australia, and I was hired by a company to go into schools for an hour a day and teach them PE.
Okay.
And the company only hired teachers that had teaching qualifications.
Okay.
So I kind of was thinking about the idea, and then I realized that they actually do it with music teachers over in Australia as well. So I kind of took this idea and I kind of ran with it, and I brought it back home with me here to Kilkenny.
So instead of you learning music from your teacher in primary school, you're going into schools and teaching music every
week. That's exactly it. Yeah. So okay. For an hour. Yeah.
Okay. And you've decided to call it Ciara Cliste. What does that mean?
It means smart music.
Okay. And when did you launch this?
So I actually only launched this just shy of 8 weeks ago now.
Wow.
Yeah. So the response has been crazy since then. So I actually can't believe it. But yeah, I only launched it just shy of 8 weeks ago.
Okay. And I know from like my little girl's school, she's been learning ukulele for the last 2 years. But you're doing lots of different instruments, aren't you?
Yeah, so we bring in the likes of the cajon drum, ukuleles, tin whistles, violins, just to get students as exposed to as many instruments as I can. Just because I know it's very hard for parents, like it's the financial cost of sending your child to music lessons today is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very hard for a child to know if they're suited to a certain instrument if they never get the chance to explore it. So that's kind of what Ciara Cliste is all about. And it's also about getting students reading music. So I want to make sure that every student comes out of the programme music literate.
Wow, which is a tough one to do almost, isn't it? So able to read the basics of a scale and different notes and things.
Yeah, so yeah, get them reading music. So I have different kind of games and stuff that I play with students. So we use like Super Mario Bros, we use like Taylor Swift, Marshmallow, all the favourites. And we get students reading rhythms, first of all. Then we get them reading notes. So I suppose a few principals didn't know if their students might be capable of reading music. But that was kind of the feedback I got at the start. And I actually went into I was running a July provision programme for students with additional needs last week. You know, students with additional needs, some of them had severe additional needs, and they were well able to read the different rhythms.
Brilliant.
So like quavers, crotchets, they were able to clap everything back and sight read these rhythms as well. So
okay.
It was actually brilliant to see.
Brilliant. Tell us about your own journey with music. Are you from a musical family?
Yeah, so I suppose I started my journey with music at 5 years of age. So I started playing violin when I was five. And since then, I've gone on to play with major orchestras such as the UCD Symphony Orchestra, DYO Symphony Orchestra. I played with the Loretto Secondary School Orchestra here, which was a very good orchestra as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I kind of just progressed from the age of five. But I suppose we had a very good music program in my school, in my primary school. And that was all thanks to the late Regina O'Leary. She set up a fantastic music programme in St. Canice's National School here in Kilkenny. And yeah, I owe a lot to her, that woman.
And that's what you hear a lot with people who have a lot of music in their lives, that they were very influenced by, you know, maybe a school teacher who loved music, or even the teacher who taught them an instrument outside the school. So that is important.
Yeah, 100%. I suppose if you're not enjoying going to your lesson every week, you're not going to keep it up. Yeah, a teacher has a huge influence over whether the child decides to stick with the instrument or not. And I suppose that's what I want to bring in with Kyo Klisha. I want to bring in fun and, yeah, make sure that every student gets the chance to explore as many instruments as I can with them.
And very portable instruments as well. There's no piano there or anything.
Well, I bring in portable keyboards, so
portable
keyboards I can bring into the schools as well. So, yeah, that's kind of the newest venture at the minute.
Very good. So are you giving up the day job then? Is this how you're going to do this, or how is it going to work for you?
Yeah, so I've been lucky enough to be in the position to, won't be going back to secondary school teaching next year. I'm going to go into this full time. I'm in a position to do that now. So, yeah, I can't believe it. Just shy of 8 weeks ago, I started this program and the interest has been crazy. So, I'm going to go into it full time now come September.
Amazing. And as we said, over 20 primary schools across Ireland. Are you willing to go to the whole of Ireland, or are you trying to stick to the region that you're from here in the southeast?
Yeah, so I've already got schools from Limerick, Waterford, Carlow. Limerick has been a big one at the minute. So, yeah, no, I'm venturing all over the country trying to bring Kyo Klisha into the primary schools. And I'm actually writing e-books at the minute as well for primary school teachers. So if I don't get into them, hopefully I can give them a structured music program that they can use with their students.
Is there a certain age group in the primary schools that you'd like to see?
So I'm going from junior infants right up to sixth class.
Okay.
So I've differentiated all of the resources and stuff that I have to make them suitable from the age of 5 right up to the age of 13.
Brilliant. And will you stay in a school for the day and do an hour with each class? Is that how you're hoping it'll work?
Yeah, so some schools I will go into each individual class if it's a bigger school. Mm-hmm. If it's a smaller school, we'll just run a junior program and then a senior program as well.
Okay, brilliant idea. You can find out more about it on O'Connor's_music on Instagram. And Kira is also on Gmail. She's O'ConnorsMusicSchool@gmail.com. Just home from Australia, not under a year. Now you're starting a new business. Did travelling help you? You know, did it give you confidence to start stuff like this?
Yeah, I suppose even playing music over in Australia, I suppose music is a universal language and it's something that I kind of used to help me when I went over to Australia. I played in trad groups, got a good social network over there from music. And I suppose from talking to other musicians, I pitched my idea to them and they thought it was excellent. And they said, yeah, run with it now and bring it back home to Ireland.
Brilliant. So it's always been in your head since you returned home last year.
Exactly, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, best of luck with it. It is O'ConnorsMusicSchool@gmail.com or O'Connors_music on Instagram. Kira O'Connor is the founder of Kyol Klishta. And you'll find more details on that Instagram account if you want to check it out, O'Connors_music. Best of luck. It sounds like you're really busy. Like, have you room for more schools if we're giving out all your details, or are you jam-packed?
Not jam-packed just yet. So yeah, no, I do have a bit more room for next year, but just to make sure that you get in contact quickly is the kind of main thing.
Have a look.
Can I just say, Orla, as well? I'm just running a summer camp in the Loretto Secondary School here in Kilkenny City from the 11th to the 15th of August.
Brilliant.
And students will be exposed to a range of different instruments there as well.
Okay, good stuff. So a great way to start, even, to go to a summer camp and do something intensive like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thanks a million for talking to us. That is Kira O'Connor from Kyol Klishta, O'Connors_music on Instagram. Have a great Sunday, Kira. Good to talk to you.
Cheers, Orla. Thanks a million.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It's Beat on a Sunday, and let's talk about the Full Monty. You might remember the movie, as I was saying earlier. It's from the late 1990s, and there was a lot of stripping in it. And that same thing happens at Gory Little Theatre starting this coming Tuesday, July 22nd. It has a long run, but it's a weekly summer series. We'll explain more in a minute. It runs until August 22nd, two nights a week. Stephen Acton is the director, and he's also one of the brave actors as well. You're very welcome, Stephen.
Thank you, Orla.
Multi-award winning director, of course, Ames award winning. You have done shows such as Jekyll and Hyde, Little Shop of Horrors, Godspell, Jesus Christ Superstar, Hairspray, The Sound of Music, and now The Full Monty.
The Full Monty. It's actually my second time to direct The Full Monty.
Oh, okay. Yeah. In Gorey, in your hometown?
In Gorey, believe it or not. Wow. Now, the slight difference is I'm personally bearing all this time as well as directing.
Yes.
So it's actually 10 years exactly to today, this year.
Okay.
Since we last produced it. It was produced by a company at the time, Rasper Players.
Okay.
But it was in Gorey Little Theatre. But now it's Gorey Little Theatre Group themselves are taking on the challenge this time.
Okay. So, So you strip, basically. But, you know, there's a bit of respect in there still, isn't there?
There is, absolutely. Like, number one, what the audience is to expect, hilarity. It is hilarious. Yes,
The movie was so funny.
It is. The movie is so funny. It still is. And it stands the test of time.
It does.
And what I would say is, for those who are not familiar with the stage production of it, it is almost replicating the movie. It's very similar. It's the same Simon Beaufoy, who wrote the script to the movie, also wrote the script to
and
the
which
play.
Came first, Stephen, the play or the movie?
The movie came first.
Yeah, and then is it a play or is there music involved? Is there singing in this?
There's not. This is a play. It's not
this
a musical.
Play.
It is a play, but it goes without saying there's quite a lot of music in it.
Of course.
Whether that's for our dancing routines and our rehearsals, and of course leading up to the big finale.
Okay.
and the number of music, all the songs that people will be so familiar with. It's almost the movie. The songs that almost underscore the soundscape of the play and the film is as well known as the movie itself. Yeah.
For people who haven't seen The Full Monty, either in movie form or in play guys, explain it to us, because it's it's kind of a time and of a class in England, in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're talking the early 90s, so we are Sheffield. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it's set against the backdrop to the steel factories being shut down and unemployment rife, and of course all of this down to the reign of the glorious Margaret Thatcher, who was referenced quite a lot throughout the show. It's based on six guys who become friends, and they're all down on their luck because they're all unemployed, and they set out to try and make money just to keep, for survival and for other reasons. So one of the characters called Gaz, and that's the role that I'm playing, he comes up with the idea, to become a striptease act. So the six guys who are unemployed, they form in the steelworkers, in the factory, they start to practice their routines and become strippers, and they eventually build throughout the show up the confidence and the ability to perform the Full Monty at the very end.
The big crescendo.
That's the big crescendo, should one say. and of course, that's to that really well known version. It's the Tom Jones version of Leave Your Hat On.
Yes.
Within all the hilariousness and the comedy, there is a heart to the story as well. There is a heart to that story. And so there's a bit of a mixture of everything in it, really, for everybody. And one thing I'm trying to remind people of, too, is I'm often being asked, and so are the cast, is it for everybody? It is. Some people are of the opinion that it's mainly for a female audience. It's not at all.
Okay.
It's male, it's female, it's everything. For all sorts, it really is. There's everything in it. Yeah.
Well, there's history in it as well, I suppose, because it's a true story of what happened in the UK then and the mines closing and stuff like that.
Absolutely, that is it. And that's, I think that's something that grounds it down in time. Because it is historical and it is factual in terms of the backdrop to it anyway, and the strikes and the industrial decline, etc. That's all factual. And that's what, I think that is exactly why it's still ever resonant with everybody.
Totally.
Yeah, it resonates completely,
Well, let's get down to the gory details, pardon the pun. How did you convince five men from your hometown of Gorey in County Wexford, my hometown too, I recognise a few faces, to basically take their top off for their local stage? Was it hard to convince them to do this?
I'm going to be completely honest with you, Orla. No.
I love it.
It didn't take much convincing at all. I think if anybody needed most convincing, it was myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I have to say, that being said, I'm so glad that I've took on the role as well.
And
as
had you taken on a role the last time that you did it?
No.
Okay, it was only the Full Monty.
Last time we did a Full Monty, I only directed. But I'm enjoying the challenge. And we all are.
What was the decision this time to be both the director and an actor in it?
It was the challenge that I wanted. I did want the challenge, and it's been a while since I've been acting on the stage. I took a good gap there where I was just directing, and I just took on the challenge. Now, I'm very fortunate to have a very good team behind me, not just, of course, along with like Louise Ford, the artistic director, and with Nigel May, the stage manager. Also, Roisin Corrid choreographing a lot of the numbers in it. But apart from that, I have a very good support with, there's one girl I'd have to mention, is Caroline Gormley, or Caroline Hogan, she may go by. She's a wonderful speech and drama teacher. So she is, and she's in taking notes and working with us and the children, etc. Because
on
it's not always that easy. Yes, it's not always that easy to be able to direct oneself, you know.
Of course.
But it's a challenge, you know, and we record each single rehearsal, and I'll go home and I'll watch the 2 hours and I'll take notes and continue on.
Good stuff. You're flying it at the moment. Is this now becoming your full-time job, directing?
It more or less is, yeah. Well, I do love it. Yeah, it's a passion as well as work, you know.
Yeah, you can really hear that. It's a very gory little theatre thing to have a kind of summer series where something is on couple of nights a week. But it's a hard slog, I suppose, if people are volunteering to be actors in this, because they're coming into the theatre for the bones of 6 weeks, aren't they?
Absolutely. It's a huge commitment. Mm. It really is. It is a huge commitment to anybody, because you're giving up, it's twice a week. So you're running it on a Tuesday and a Thursday. But as you said, for 6 weeks, we're doing 10 shows in total, which is a lot.
It is a lot.
And you're giving up the majority of your summer. It means you're not able to maybe go for a full week's holiday during the summer and stuff like that. Now, I will add that some people mightn't be aware, we're not actually running the first week in August.
Okay.
We have to take a break for that week.
Okay.
So that incorporates
those 6 weeks. Yeah, so it's 5 weeks in total. Okay. Yeah. Well, best of luck with it. Break a leg.
Thank you.
Maybe not a lot of legs, because you are needed in those dancing scenes.
Yes,
and that stripping.
For sure.
Yeah. It looks like it's going to be a really good one. It kicks off this coming Tuesday, and then it's on Thursday, and it continues like that. But you will get more details from gorytheatre.ie. Tickets are from greatevents.ie, but probably the best place to go is gorytheatre.ie, and you can find out more details there. Mm-hmm. Best of luck with it, Stephen. It's been
great talking
to you down through the
years,
and really good to hear that everything's going so well in the world of theatre, and for you in the world of theatre as well.
Thank you so much, Orla. Thank you.
Catch you soon. Bye-bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Let's talk dating, because more than a decade since dating apps became the norm, there's a bit of fatigue when it comes to finding love online. But one Wexford business has come up with a very interesting way of matching lovers and the outdoors. The Wexford Experience in Feathered-on-Sea held its first double kayak speed dating event. Yes, you heard that right. Double kayak speed dating. And our own Aoife Kearns went along to see how it all went down.
Sometimes it's hard to meet people in the pubs as well. So I think that would be a nice experience.
It's kind of been organized for you. And you don't have to find them yourself.
We'll try it and see. Sure, if we capsize, we capsize. If we don't, we don't.
Let's go to the beach. Eat. Let's go get away.
What lengths are you willing to go for love? Well, for these 14 single lads and ladies, they're willing to kayak with a stranger. In the past few days, Bag and Bun Beach in County Wexford held Ireland's first ever double kayak speed dating event. Organised by the Irish Experience in Feathered-on-Sea, the singletons made their way around the Hook Peninsula. But before they took to the water, the event organiser Graeme from the Irish Experience told us how the matchmaking would work.
We have 7 girls, 7 guys, and 7 double kayaks. So each girl, each guy will spend at least 10 minutes with each other in a double kayak. Now, we do, we have a bit of a saying here at the Irish Experience that double kayaks are divorce boats. So it really does take a lot, you know, to get yourself, communication, getting yourself in sync. You know, if you can handle a double kayak together, you know, you're onto a winner there big time.
And why speed dating? Do you find kayaking a bit romantic yourself?
Yeah, well, I mean, what we're looking for is like-minded people. Unlike the dating apps or dating agencies, anyone that's already following us or into adventure, you know, they're going to be similar people. So we're actually getting those people coming together. So this is perfect. You're actually getting like-minded people together, and they already are into the outdoors. So there could be some clicking out here. Ireland and the West in general, it's kind of gone to Tinder and dating apps. And look, we need to just get back out into the physical world and you know, start swiping right in a double kayak instead of on your smartphone. But yeah, look, it's difficult. Dating, it's not easy. And like this event here is 28 to 40 age category. So, you know, it can get even more difficult as you get older, and it can get a little bit more, you know, you could be even more nervous as you get older as well. So it can become a challenge that way. This, I think, removes a lot of barriers because you're not being put face to face in front of a guy or a girl. You're out actually physically doing something that you probably enjoy, otherwise you wouldn't be doing dating in doubles. And you know, that way it's like it makes we're facilitating a great environment to just naturally meet people.
And I'm sure people that would have a bit of a wild streak in them, because you'd want to be, you know, a bit mad to do it.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know.
In the best way possible.
Yeah, well, look, I don't know if you need to be mad, but definitely you need to be, you know, thinking outside the box a little bit more of how you're going to meet someone. You could be going to the pub for the last 25 years and you haven't met that woman or guy of your dreams. So, you know, why not? If you're that way thinking, you know, why not do it and meet someone who's thinking along the same lines as you?
After 2 hours or so of paddling, our lovers return to the shore. And here's how they found this unique form of finding romance.
Oh, it was great crack. Yeah. It was brilliant, yeah. It's a really clever way of doing it. How was the chatting? Was it actually grand because you were so kind of busy trying to keep afloat?
Keep the balance. It was kind of odd because, like, all the girls, we were sitting in the front. So it's like you can't see who you're talking to. And the lads were saying, we're just talking to the back of your heads. But it was kind of easier that way. And it was fantastic weather for it.
Yeah, I had a great time. It was really enjoyable, actually. It was, yeah, a great opportunity just to meet new people and have a chat. And it's very laid back, actually, yeah. So it was nice.
Any nice connections?
I think all just very friendly. Yeah. No, nice to meet new people from around.
Good crack now, yeah. It's a great crack trying to manoeuvre into different boats in the sea without falling in.
any good connections?
There's one or two, I think, but sure, we'll see how the cards go afterwards.
Do you think it's a cool idea and cool to do it, like, you know, an activity for dating kind of thing? Yeah,
definitely. These days, anyway, the kind of dinner dating and that has kind of gone out the window. Like,
some people you have more connection, and then the guys, okay, it's time to sweep again, and say, no. But it was really nice. I really recommend you this experience.
I heard the word connection. Do you think you'll be putting a little love heart or an arrow beside anyone's name?
Well, maybe. I'd say about me, but I don't know about the other side, you know.
To be continued.
You know how they say you should never kiss and tell? Well, we had to get the inside scoop from the guy guiding these lovebirds, Dylan.
What was crazy was I thought maybe some people would be like cautious at pairing up with other people. Everyone was straight into each other's boats. It was fantastic. Yeah, it's great.
Did you spot any connections, do you think?
Oh, definitely. The other part is, like, were there multiple connections between multiple people? That's the saucy part. But no, there was definitely connections, strong connections out there as well. And even since we came back in on land, you can see little lovebirds pairing up. So it's actually deadly.
Little
you know, little groups, and you're like, ooh. We're watching the cars there now. Like.
This dating event for those over the age of 28 is one of many on the cards for this business. If you want to give it a go yourself, check out the Irish Experience on Instagram, Facebook and TikTok and see how things went down on Beat's socials.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It's Beat of a Sunday and this movie has just become the third biggest box opening weekend, box office opening of 2025 in the US, just behind, can you guess the two movies that
Minecraft?
Have had the biggest? Yes, well done.
And is it animated?
Yes, it is, well, kind of animated.
Oh, interesting.
You liked it.
I remember seeing the thing that Minecraft.
I pronounced the name wrong, but that's not giving much away.
That could be anything. Like that could be something that's just called Apple or something, you know?
Lilo.
Oh, yes. Lilo and Stitch. Yes.
So we are talking about Superman, of course. The Man of Steel is back with a bang. It's the newly rebooted comic book adventure. I should have asked you this beforehand. It stars David Cornsweet.
Cornsweet. I don't know.
He, of course, is Clark Kent or Superman. Now, this has been directed by Guardian of the Galaxy's James Gunn. Kind of starts in the middle of everything. Brian's going to explain after this.
Recently, you've come under a lot of fire for what some might...
It's a lot.
Today, the Secretary of Defense said he was going to look into your actions. That's funny.
My actions? I stopped a war.
Maybe.
I did.
In effect, you illegally entered a country.
This is how you're gonna be?
I'm not the one being interviewed, Superman. Did you consult with the president?
No.
You seemingly acting as a representative of the United States.
I wasn't representing anybody except for me.
And
doing good.
I would question myself in the same situation and consider the consequences.
People were going to die.
There you go. That is the latest offering from Superman. It's been dividing the critics from a great yarn to just too sincere and woke. So let's get it from our horse's mouth. The official Brian Griffin review of Superman happens right now. So a bit too sincere and woke or a great yarn?
I don't know. Do you know what that sounds like? That sounds like nonsense things that people have come up with to sound like they know what
now,
they're talking about.
I'm sorry, but I have watched clips of Superman and it does seem like it's very, very sincere. But Superman was always a bit sincere. He was always out to save society and do the right thing.
Yeah, the whole point of Superman is he is a symbol of good.
Yeah.
That is literally, like the S on his chest is literally a symbol of like hope or something.
So tell me, it does start in the middle though, does it?
Yeah, so basically, I think there's a whole thing of people being bored of like, this is the story again. Like they refer to it, there's talk of it. If you don't know it, you'll find it out. There's some text at the start to be like, Superman arrived 3 years ago. 3 months ago this happened. 3 weeks ago this happened. 3 hours ago this happened. 3 minutes ago something, do you know? And it's actually quite an interesting way of doing it.
So is this... Like if we'd watched the Henry Cavill Superman, you don't need to know nothing.
So I actually didn't watch him.
So this is a made up thing that's happened.
Yeah.
Okay, great. It's not from other movies.
This actually didn't happen in real life, Orla.
Yes, thank you, Brian.
It's not a documentary.
Yes, thank you, Brian, for being that patronising. But you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it didn't happen in the last Superman movie.
It's not a follow-on. Yes. Yeah. So it's a reboot is the scenario of what's occurred.
Okay.
Because the whole kind of DC thing has been rebooted and James Gunn is in charge of the whole thing.
Okay.
But he's still directing this. So do you know the way Kevin Feige does all the Marvel stuff,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't direct any things personally. James Gunn is doing this. He's doing Superman. I don't know what else he would do. I feel like he might only do the Superman movies.
Okay.
But
and Henry Cavill himself had said he was coming back to Superman about 3 years ago, and lo and behold, that has not happened.
I think it's a case of they wanted someone that was more young. Like, honestly, it's a case of Henry Cavill was doing it from like 2011. So... Mm-hmm. Like if he did, I think if he's mid-40s now,
mm-hmm,
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the whole thing of Superman, he's this guy that like has the naivety of someone that doesn't have like life too much. Like, well, obviously life experience, but not too much that he's matured completely.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
All right. So, as we said, we're in the middle. Superman is not the favourite superhero of the hour.
Yes.
He's, you know, he's done some things that he says were done for the greater good, but yeah, it's not been told as that.
So there's a lot of, vague walls of this is based on real life. So okay, there's a Middle Eastern country invading another Middle Eastern country out of nowhere because the person in charge of one wants just to have all the land of the other.
Yeah. Oh.
Now,
okay,
if we're even just to peel that back even more, the bad guys are essentially Russia and Israel.
Okay.
And the people that he kind of protects are Ukraine / Palestine.
Okay.
And it's enough that they can be like, oh, what are the chances? But it's also like, come on. Are you serious? But no, it's I think it's actually a great way of doing it because it's being able to commentate on like political things without, mm-hmm,
it's
not the name of the places. Like, mm-hmm, the names are completely different. It's like the part of the world is different, kind of.
Okay.
It's kind of in the middle of both situations.
But totally obvious.
Yeah. Like, okay, it's very kind of interesting that these kind of things that have happened so recently that they actually used kind of stuff to metaphor for this. But Superman basically prevented the first invasion into the Palestine region.
All right.
And he's getting criticized for it because he represented America essentially when he did so.
All right.
But he's like, he didn't do that. He saved a lot of lives. And then they're like, this is the implications of it. But the whole thing is Lex Luthor, played by Nicholas Holt, he's the bad guy. And I'm getting really strong Elon Musk vibes off this. And his whole thing is like he's using tech to fight against Superman and all this. And he's just this like really bad guy. But Nicholas Holt is great in it.
Yeah,
like,
I love Nicholas.
He's fantastic.
Holt. Brilliant.
And the whole thing is he's jealous of Superman. Like, he's jealous of the power that he has. And Nicholas Holt actually auditioned for Superman in this movie and he didn't get it. And then he got like the villain instead.
Okay.
So that extra layer of him being jealous that he didn't get the role that he wanted.
That works.
He didn't get to be Superman and he's not Superman. Like, okay, it adds to it, you know?
And do we have a Lois Lane in this?
Yes, Rachel Brosnahan is Lois Lane in this.
And is Superman a Clark Kent at any stage as well?
Well, Superman and Clark Kent are completely different people when he puts on glasses.
But I knew that. Thank you. But that whole trope still happens.
But it's so.
He's still a journalist, etc.
He's still a journalist, and everyone like it's fun. Like, the way he plays it is funny because he keeps getting interviews with Superman. And they're like, how do you keep doing that? He's like, oh, he's just a cool guy. Like, he's coming to me or something. And Lois Lane is aware of his identity,
mm-hmm,
but like everyone else isn't. And then there's moments where people are like, what's going on with like Lois and Superman? Do you know what I mean? It's like, what's going on? And it's fun in a really light way. Mm-hmm. And then like Skylar Gazando is in it, right? A name you probably don't recognize, but he's Jimmy Olsen in this. He's been in a few other movies and he's always just been like my favorite bit of the movie.
Okay.
And he's in this as Jimmy Olsen, who every woman just is in love with him for some reason. And it's just like a little bit like that is just so funny,
yeah,
that he can't go anywhere without women being like, yeah, oh my
Superman
God, I love
you.
Was
always a bit like that. It was always a bit tongue in cheek.
It is. It's like it's really kind of silly, and I kind of like it's silly, but in a really heartfelt, emotional way.
Yeah.
And that's the way James Gunn movies always have been. Mm-hmm. There's going to be great music. There's going to be great casting.
Yeah.
And it's going to like crush you at some stage.
And it's going to be tongue in cheek as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Those Guardians of the Galaxy. Will we be black pudding it?
I would give it like 9.
9.
Yeah.
Excellent. Tough. 9 black puddings out of 10. And then, of course, the announcement that we'll see a Supergirl next year as well, which always goes hand in hand with a Superman.
Yeah, yeah. There's an appearance of her.
Oh, there's an appearance of her? Okay, all right.
Yeah. It's in the IMDb, so I'm not spoiling anything.
Yeah, all right. And it's been all over the news this week as well that we're getting a Supergirl.
So.
Okay, 9 black puddings out of 10 for Superman. He has returned as a completely new face. It is out now. Brian, thanks a million.
No problem.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.